right, thank you, Brother Kenny. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll be there in a few moments. And this morning, we're moving into lesson number 7, talking about the idea of separation, being separate from the world. And really, today's a good day for this lesson because after the morning service, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to have lunch together, and we're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers, macaroni salad, potato salad, and whatever else is down there. But now here's a question. When you go, whether it's at home, a restaurant, a fellowship, and you get your plate, you get your meal, how many of you have to have every portion of food not touching? Anyone like that? Ms. Lisa, all right. So, and it's Dominic back there, and so. How many? They just don't care as long as you can eat. Okay, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, just as long as you can eat. So now, if anyone is like that, we do have subdivided plates downstairs, so you can put each item in its own separate container, and so we give you options here where you can separate things. And but that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about separation, being separate from the world. And so who'd like to read there 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17? Miss Martha, go ahead. All right. And so the part of this verse we want to focus on is kind of right there in the middle where it says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And so the question becomes, just exactly what is separation? What is it? What does it mean? How do we as Christians practice it? And is it having a difference between the Christian and the world? And if so, how much distance does there need to be? Some words that are similar to separation, you have to limit, boundaries, exclude, sever. And as we get into the Bible, as we get into Scripture, we find that the Bible is actually very clear in showing us that there should be a distinct difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Once we got saved, the Bible tells us we became a new creature. We became new creatures in Christ. And so the old things we used to do, we shouldn't do them anymore. The ways we used to talk, we shouldn't talk that way anymore. The places we used to go to, we shouldn't go to those places anymore. And so there should be a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Now, when we get into talking about separation, one of the things that comes up is that, and this is what the world accuses us of, is that, well, we think that as Christians, we're better than somebody that's not saved, or we're holier than thou. And the fact of the matter is, we're just, we're really no different than them. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God, that He's made a change in our life, He's made a change in our heart, and we're trying our best with His help to live for Him and to please Him with our lives. And unbelievers are often referred to as being a part of the world. And so this study this morning, we're going to show the things a Christian should not do in order to be separate from the world. And so you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Who would like to go back up and read for us verses 14 through 17. Verses 14 through 17. Katie, go ahead.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ be with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what ye agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
All right, so we notice here the contrast that God, through the Apostle Paul, makes between unbelievers and believers here in 2 Corinthians. Now, you remember the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, it was written to a carnal church. It was written to a problem church. It was written to a church that, you know, we've said any number of times, no pastor in his right mind, knowing all the problems, would want to go in and try and pastor. And Paul, he comes to this church for two primary reasons. Number one, to correct problems. And then in the second half, to answer questions that the Corinthian believers have. And you notice the contrast that he has here. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers for what? And what's that fill in the blank there?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And basically, it's kind of like as you think about water and oil. They don't mix. Our fellowship, if we're Christians, that righteousness that has been imputed to us, we ought not to have that fellowship with unrighteousness, because it just doesn't mix. It just doesn't make any sense. And so we see, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what? That second fill in the blank?
Communion.
Communion hath light with darkness. You know, the light, when you think about what light is supposed to do, it's supposed to what? Drive away the darkness. The darkness is not supposed to overpower the light. The light is supposed to have an effect on that darkness. And then we move on to that third fill in the blank, and what?
Concord.
Have Christ with Belial, or what? And what's that? The fourth part.
Part.
Fourth, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what?
Agreement.
Hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. And that's what it all boils down to. As Christians now, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to live on the inside of us, and we are now the temple of the living God, and that's why there ought to be a difference in our lives. And that's why that verse says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. And so, a Christian's relationship to the world should be according to God's commands. We should interact and have, you know, our interactions with the world according to what God has laid out for us in His Word. Now, that's not to mean, you know, because if we're all honest here, we all have people in our lives today that they're unsaved. They don't know Christ as their Savior. They need to know Christ as their Savior. And what separation is not, it is not shunning them to where you have no interaction with them whatsoever. Because if you do that, then how are you ever going to win them for Christ? How are you ever going to win them to the Lord? But separation does say, you know, maybe they invite you to go out partying Saturday night, and you know you have church on Sunday. Well, as a Christian now, you should say, okay, what is more important? Going out partying with my friends, or being refreshed for church on Sunday morning? And that's what the separation is we're talking about. And so we want to consider some of the following commands of the Christian's relationship to the world from the Lord here in the Bible. And so the first thing we're going to look at this morning is to be not conformed to the world. Be not conformed to the world. Who'd like to read there? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Miss Lisa, go ahead. Oh, no, verse 1 and 2.
1 and
2. Yep.
Okay. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
All right, thank you. What I like about that, those verses in particular, is that first part of the verse talks about how we're to not be conformed to the world, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Did you know this morning God never asks us as Christians to do anything that is unreasonable? Everything He asks us to do is reasonable when it comes to His commands. And he asks us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But you know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? You get up, you move, you squiggle, you squirm, and, you know, God's there trying to get a hold of your life, and you're trying to zig and zag, and He's trying to get you right on the right path that you need to go, and We're not always what we ought to be for Christ, but with his help, we can strive to be that. And then there in verse number 2, it says, be not conformed to the world. That word conformed means to fashion alike. It means to fashion alike. Many Christians, unfortunately, they've copied the world in their dress, in their music, in their language, in their conduct. And God said here not to conform to the world. The only way that a Christian can keep from duplicating the world is to renew his mind with spiritual things. And how do we renew our mind with spiritual things? Reading our Bible, having prayer time, coming to church, having fellowship with fellow Christians. And that's why we talk a lot about the importance of accountability as you have your devotions and as you have your Bible studies. Have somebody that you can talk to that says, okay, what did you read today? Or what do you need me to pray about today? Or that way you just kind of do your best to stay on that spiritual path that the Lord has for us. And notice there, if you would, who'd like to read there, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Michaela, go ahead. All right, and so the disciples here, they said it correctly in Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have and heard. And so, you know, an illustration of being conformed would be kind of that of like a gelatin mole. You know, you ever see a gelatin mole? Know what a gelatin mole is? And I'm going to get a little bit unspiritual here. Anyone ever see The Office? Stapler in the gelatin mole. And that's the type of gelatin mole we're talking about here. But, you know, that liquid gelatin, when we put it into the mold, it takes on the exact form of that mold. It takes on the exact shape that you try and mold it into. And the lives of God's children should not want to take on the mold of the world, but we should rather want to take on the attributes of our Heavenly Father, of our Savior, of our Lord. We should want to be conformed to him and not conformed to this world. And there, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day you wake up, it's a new battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every morning you get up and you get ready to start your day, the devil's, you know, you kind of, you maybe seen it in TV, you have, you know, where they have the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other shoulder, and they're in your ear and trying to get you to decide, you know, whether you're going to do right or wrong. Well, that's kind of what we face on a day-by-day basis. Because as Christians, we still, even though we're saved, we still struggle with the flesh. We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with the world. And every day we have to make that decision. Are we going to be conformed to the world, or are we going to be conformed to Christ? And the only way we can be conformed to Christ is by the renewing of our mind. And the only way we renew our mind is by filling our mind and our hearts with that, with those things which are spiritual. Who'd like to read there? Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. We know Romans 8:28, but who'd like to read Romans 8:29 this morning? Miss Sandy, go ahead. All right. Thank you there, Miss Sandy. And so we see there, the Lord, he knew us before we ever was born, before we were ever saved. He knew us when he died on the cross. He looked through eternity future to see that we'd be sitting here in a church on August 14th, 2023. And here in a discipleship class, learning about him, learning about his word. And it says here, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, that's a big word that you find in your Bibles, predestinate. That does not mean he has chosen you to salvation. That does not mean he has chosen you to go to hell. All that means is he is, once you got saved, he had a plan for your life to be, and what's that fill in the blank there? Conform. So his plan for your life after salvation was for you to be conformed to the, and that second fill in the blank? image, the image of his son. And so when people look at us, what they ought to see, they ought to see many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Because he saved us, he made us new creatures, and we should present that image to the world. Because the truth of the matter is this morning, some of your unsaved friends, some of your unsaved family members, you're going to be the only Bible that they ever see, that they ever read. And, you know, I often ask the question, well, what version of the Bible are they going to see? Are they going to see this person that's the same in church as they are out of church? Or are you going to be, you know, are you one way in church and then one way out of church? And that sends mixed signals to a world that is lost and dying. And now listen, we all struggle. Again, we struggle with the world, the flesh, the devil. We all struggle with it. We all have our, our days where Satan and the world and the flesh and sin, they get the best of us. The Bible talks about that. The sin which doth so easily beset us. And we might not get victory over those things until we get to heaven. But we can still strive to be conformed to the image of his son. That should be our goal. That should be what we strive towards. Who'd like to read there Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Miss Martha, go ahead. All right, and so we see there that we're to put on the new man, renewed in knowledge after the what? The image of him that created him. So again, we see the importance of portraying the image of God in our lives, showing people God working through us and God working in our life. And so we see we're to not be conformed to the world. And then secondly, this morning, we see that we are to be not a friend of the world. Be not a friend of the world. It's been said the only difference in a person 5 years from now will be the books he reads and the people he meets. I heard a lot growing up as a teenager, as a young person in church, that, you know, you show me your friends today and I'll show you your future. If we have people in our lives that, you know, they're really not concerned about our well-being, you know, spiritually, then it's easier to fall back in line with those folks. But the world can have more of an influence on the Christian than he can imagine. That's why we talk much about being not unequally yoked. And, a friend can make or break a person. We believe the believer's closest friends should be those who are godly Christians. Who'd like to look up there? Psalm 119 and verse 63. Psalm 119 and 63. Martha and Sandy, you're going to have to fight for it. All right, and then who'd like to look up there? Proverbs 13:20. Katie, go ahead.
Proverbs is my favorite.
Alright, and so we see there, friend, those you associate with, they are either going to help you or they're going to hinder you in your Christian walk. James 4:4, who'd like to read that for us this morning? Brother Kenny, go ahead. All right, and so simple there. If we're a what of the world? If we're a friend of the world, then we're an enemy of who? We're an enemy of God. And then you're there in James 1:27. Who'd like to read that this morning? Michaela? All All right, and so we see there, pure religion. We're, as Christians, we're to keep ourselves what? Mm-mm. Well, that, but last part of verse 27.
Unspotted,
that's right. We're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And so we're to not be a friend of the world. Now, again, that doesn't mean we won't have acquaintances and people in our lives that are unsaved, because we all will. And in fact, if we don't, we're not really doing our job as a Christian to begin with. And, you know, because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. The Lord never called us to isolation. He called us to separation. And that's an important distinction to make. But be not a friend of the world. Number three, be not of the world. Be not of the world. And this gets into just what I said. God doesn't want us to be a hermit. You know, he doesn't want us to, you know, and there are some wild people out there that are conspiracy theorists. And, you know, they bury themselves in their house and they never come out. And all God never intended for us to do that. He never intended for us to be a hermit. He never intended for us not to be around people. Now, listen, some of us, we're naturally homebodies. We're naturally, you know, we you know, we can deal with people, but we much rather be home. As a pastor, I fall into that category. I can visit, I can fellowship, I can, you know, spend hours with people, but
have friends over,
all the rest. But eventually, I want those friends to go home. Okay? I don't want them to stay. And we had a pastor friend in New Jersey. He'd have people over on Sunday night after church, and eventually he just started going to bed because they wouldn't leave. And he just said, "Okay, you lock up when you leave. I'm going to bed." And but he never intended for us to be hermits. He never intended for us not to be around people, because mainly the Great Commission is to go out into the world with the gospel, to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. And God knows the believer will need to be in the world, but he's not want the believer to be of the world. Go to John chapter 17. And who'd like to read there verses 14 through 16? John chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. Miss Martha, go ahead. Thank you there, Ms. Martha. And so we see there, as Christians, they are not what? Of the world. Even as Christ is not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them what?
Out
of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So we see, we're not to be taken out of the world. We're not to remove ourselves from the world. We're just to stay from the evil of the world. John 15:19, ye are not what? Of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And then we were just there, John 17:16. They are not what? Of the world, even as I am not what? Of the world. And so as Christians, just like our Savior, we're not of the world, just like he is not of the world. And those who lived in the world before salvation and then go back to the world, the Bible tells us will have a worse and then their beginning. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And so you see, as Christians, when you and I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ provided a means of escape from the pollutions of this world. Now again, we're still here. We still live here. We still deal, you know, it's not the sweet by and by just yet. It's still the nasty now and now. We still deal with sins and the effects of sin and all the rest. But we have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then it says, well, if we go back in and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. And so we ought not to go back. We ought to always be going forward and pressing forward and striving and pressing toward the mark. And so we see we're to be not of the world. And then number four and finally this morning, we see we're to love not the world. We're to love not the world. You know, it's impossible for a person to truly love the things of the world and love God at the same time. God said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. It would be like if I came in, and I've used this illustration before, I came in wearing a Eagles tie, and then I put on a Dallas Cowboys hat. You look at me like, okay, what team are you rooting for here? Well, I can guarantee you it's not the Cowboys. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. We can't serve two masters. We can't straddle the fence. We can't have one foot here in church and in the spiritual, and then one foot in the world. And the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know, you think this morning about Moses' choice between God and the world, as mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, we'd like to read that for us this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Miss Martha, go ahead. I love that one verse there where it talks about choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's just something special about spending time with God's people and the people of God that the world just can't duplicate. The world just can't replicate. And Moses realized that. He realized that the pleasures of sin last only for what? A season. And then James talks about that sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Sin, whatever it touches, will eventually kill it. Whether it be a family, a marriage, a friendship, a career, whatever it is you think of this morning, if sin touches it, sin will eventually kill it. And we see Moses, he esteemed greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. What did he esteem greater than the treasures of Egypt? The reproach of Christ. That's right. And First John 2:15, love not the what? The world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now again, that's not to say we can't have hobbies, we can't have likes, we can't have dislikes. We all have likes, we all have hobbies we like to do. And sports we like to enjoy. Just the other night, one of the Phillies pitchers, he threw a no-hitter. His first start with the Phillies there at home. And he goes out and he throws a no-hitter. That's exciting for a baseball fan. That's exciting for someone that enjoys baseball. And the Lord's not saying you can't have these things that you enjoy. But what it does mean, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Those things should not take place above the Lord, above God, above the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there were many times growing up, we would be offered tickets through school for a Phillies game. But wouldn't you know it, almost every ticket we would be given for a Phillies game, it was on a Wednesday night. Now, as a teenager, you're like, man, we can go to the Phillies game. But at a very young age, we had to make a decision. Okay, are we going to go to the Phillies game? And at this time, they stunk, so it made it a little bit easier. But but do we go to the Phillies game or do we go to church? And I guarantee you, if you'll choose God every time, you'll be blessed for it. You won't regret it. And you'll always come out having feeling better for making that choice. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's right. And so many people, how many of you enjoy cotton candy? Anyone enjoy cotton candy? Miss Sandy, I'm not too big of a fan. But, you know, you go to a carnival, you go to a fair, you know, you get cotton candy there. And, you know, the soft pink candy, I've had it before, and I don't know if it's the texture or what it is, but it dissolves quickly. You know, as soon as you eat it, it's gone. I mean, who wants food like that? You know, you want it to last it a little bit. You want it to, you know, give you some substance with it. But it almost dissolves immediately. And, you know, if pressed together in a child's hand, it quickly turns into a ball of stickiness. And they start to get their little mitts on things. And all of a sudden they transfer that stickiness from their hands to everything they now touch. But how like the cotton candy are the enticing things of the world without Christ? You know, the things of the world, they're colorful, they're dazzling, they're beautiful, but they are totally devoid of worth. They're totally devoid of enduring pleasure without Christ. And a final portion of scripture this morning, 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth for forever. That's right. And so we see this morning, as Christians, we're to be not conformed to the world, be not a friend of the world, be not of the world, and love not the world. Any questions on our lesson this morning before we close? All right. If not, let's go to Lord in prayer, and we'll prepare for the morning service this morning.